When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
Like, and then defensively, you know, the one thing that I would say, the one issue that like with the Lakers game plan of Rui guarding Jokic is like, if you're going to have AD as kind of your wrecking ball and, you know, in a weak side defense and help side defense, he needs to be that. And I don't think like with the way that Denver moves the ball and the way that they involve Aaron Gordon, because like you would think Aaron Gordon isn't a shooting threat, so AD can kind of ignore him. But Gordon is so good at, you know, floating along that baseline and making those baseline cuts that AD can't really ignore him. So like, I do kind of wonder if the Lakers are actually going to go to playing Jokic a little bit more straight up, with AD on him than having Rui do it. Because like tonight, I thought that Ham benched Rui for not being able to guard Jokic, which is just like, say that out loud, Raj. Like, Darvin Ham benched Rui Hachimura, right, because he at 6'8", 6'9", what is he, like 250, right?
Yeah.
230 or
something,
so.
Like that.
Like, couldn't guard Nikola Jokic at 7'7", 300 pounds. And that's why Darvin Ham goes away from Rui altogether down the stretch of the game while it was still kind of a game. You can't, again, and it's been consistent with Darvin all year, that he always looks at Rui and holds against him what Rui can't do rather than acknowledge the things that Rui can. I was really impressed with the way that AD played tonight.
Yeah.
It sucks to lose the game that AD plays that way.
Yeah, it is. Just right before I get to AD, I just want to give, there's a point before the end of the first half where we're obviously reeling, right? Crowd's going ballistic. It's going absurd. D'Lo's lost himself during this moment. But Rui comes down, and I think Denver ties it, Anthony, and it's like a 10-0 run.
Yeah.
No one wants the basketball at this point. You could tell. Like, no one wants any part of anything. Everyone's nervous. Rui catches it on the wing. Jab step, pull up jumper, clean. And whatever happens in this series, and I know whatever happened, like, that impressed me a lot. Like, that's a huge shot. And look, Rui only shot 5 times, but that shows me a lot in terms of his makeup. And then Austin also came down. Again, crowd going ballistic. I think Denver took the lead or maybe tied it. Came down and hit a mid-range pull-up as well. So I wanted to give those guys at least some credit trying to stop the run when it was already kind of, you were getting run over. But no, I thought AD was great. My whole, like, complaints from last year was I thought his offense wasn't good enough, as unfair as that may be for his defensive ask. But when you're the, you know, best, or the star franchise contract maker, like, you have some asks that are unfair. He's got to score in this series, Anthony, especially in single coverage against Jokic. Like, Jokic doesn't foul. He gets back. He's never going to block your shot. AD can take his time, get to his spots. The threes were kind of when the game was already out of hand. I thought we were already down double digits and the pick and pops were there. So AD was kind of firing these low usage threes where he can kind of save his body. But I know his game was awesome. I think him and Jokic had a, like, he played him pretty even or even outplayed him to an extent. I loved his attacks to the rim. I loved the floaters. He was getting no calls, which I would love some kind of investigation into that. Even with the free throw disparity, I think the Lakers had 17 to 6 free throws, but they were able to be extremely physical with AD. Bunch of shots that should have been and ones. I thought his cutting was good. I thought the ball screen with LeBron, this was the best LeBron AD pick and roll game we've had in a while, especially against Denver, just leveraging that against them. You talked about the Aaron Gordon stuff. That was really on the boards, where Jokic and Gordon really did a number, where AD was the only one rebounding. Again, LeBron, Austin, D'Lo, Rui, especially, just don't box out enough against a team like this. I thought at least AD did his job there. It's tough. You outplay the best player in the world and your team doesn't, you know, come along for the ride. I don't know how, like, you go into game two with that, but AD was awesome. I thought he was great. He came over for help side as much as he could. He switched on to Jamal Murray in cases. He was coming out, you know, switching on to MPJ. He was getting to the rim. He was protecting the rim from Jokic as much as he could. It's just wasn't enough. His offense wasn't enough, and his defense was enough to put them over the top, but he did his job, I guess. It's just, it's tough in this context to try to give all the flowers I could. Because you eventually did lose in double digits. But AD was really good. He played his role, and it's all you can ask. If LeBron and AD do their job, then you can kind of look around the roster over the summer. And they did their job in game one.
Yeah, I think the big lessons to take out of this one is you have Gabe and Spencer for a reason. So if D'Lo is playing like that, you don't need to play him 40 minutes. And then the other big one here is, like, you can't hold it against Rui that he can't guard Jokic. That is such horseshit, you know. Like, and I don't know if that's the reason or whatever, but Rui gets benched. What did Rui play tonight? He played
like 29 minutes.
29 minutes. It's just so Rui, looking at, so he played 31. Rui played 31 okay. Minutes. Hayes played 4 minutes, which seems kind of low. Honestly, you want to know what the most important stat is from this game? DeAndre Jordan was only -3.
Oh God.
And I think he's only a -3 because of some like late game stuff, you know? Cause he was a plus for big chunks of the game. And if DeAndre Jordan is a plus, DeAndre Jordan only plays when Nikola Jokic is on the floor, is on the bench.
Yeah,
that's it. And I'm sorry, you guys can. I hope you guys can't hear the rain. I'm gonna go stand out in it after this show. Just gonna stand out there and do the full on like rom com sad scene thing. The Rui stuff, and Rui only getting 4 field goal attempts. He shot 4 times in this one. He shot 2 free throws, and he was huge for the Lakers last season. He was the reason that when he started game 4, when he started playing more, he was like, okay, well, this makes the Lakers a little bit more competitive, and he just doesn't factor into this game. Again, it's just like I thought the Lakers got really out of sorts, I think Rui really needs stuff drawn up for him, and it just didn't happen.
I'll say one reasoning what it could be, and I give Rui a ton of credit for this, because taking the challenge of Jokic, right? Like, I'm sure that's not something he really wants. Like, I'm sure when Darvin's like, hey, you're guarding Jokic from tip off, and I was shocked at that, honestly. Like, that's what I hope would happen. I was shocked they went to that right away, but that could wear you down as well. Right, guarding Jokic isn't just guarding him when he has the ball. It's fighting through a million cross screens that they set, right? Every single time in the paint, a guard's coming and setting, and Denver sets real screens. Like, they set really hard picks on anyone that's coming through, and Rui has to get through those. I'm not saying that's the reason he shot 4 times, but I think that could be a reason. Him and Austin, right? Austin has a Jamal Murray matchup as well. Like, they have Austin pretty much chasing Jamal Murray around, so maybe that's one thing that tires them out. The thing with Darvin benching Rui because he can't guard Jokic, we're doing the thing where we double Jokic on like his second dribble. And I think Jokic started to realize that. Like, I think as the game got on,
he's like taking Jokic, 2 dribbles on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it worked in the first half, and we built a 12-point lead, which you should have been able to leverage.
That's what Jokic does, though. Like,
for sure.
You can't throw the same pitch over and over and over again at Nikola Jokic.
No, I know. Like, but like your 90, however this baseball analogy works, like your 90 miles per hour fastball was working enough to get you a 4-run lead or whatever it is. Like, you should be able to leverage that at least into the fourth quarter. And they weren't able to. The Nuggets cut a 12-point lead to 3 in like 2 minutes, which is just too quick. It's too fast. But yeah, we're like doubling Jokic here and there. And again, I thought our rotations, Anthony, were crisp. Peyton Watson came in and hit 2 threes right away, which was extremely demoralizing. Like, that sucks. Like, your defensive process to let that guy shoot. He's shooting, I think, like 28% from 3, hits 2 threes right away. But our discipline continued. We continued to let that guy open, and we dared him to shoot. Where it switched was when Jokic kept scoring in the post. Jokic kind of realized that I got to go quick, and Rui can't block my shot, so I'm going to have hook shot after hook shot after hook shot. I would have loved if we just continued the game plan a little bit longer and trust our offense, but we switch AD onto Jokic, and something about switching AD onto Jokic, Anthony, just like, this is not just for this game. This is a series question I had going into it as well. Something about putting AD on Jokic and Jokic piercing that, like that being their point of attack to our offense, destroys our whole defensive identity. Like, Jokic going directly at our best defensive player and scoring through him just kills our whole defense. We have no adjustment to that. And we need one, I think, because AD's going to have to guard Jokic one-on-one for a lot of the series. But yeah, the Rui thing is very strange. 4 shots when he was actually shooting well, when he has mismatches that he can take advantage of. You can have Rui screen and ISO him against Jamal Murray, ISO him against KCP. There are advantages. Even MPJ is a guy that Rui can bully through, and we never went to that well. We just kept going to the D'Lo one, and there was no water coming out of it. So yeah, it's tough that he got benched in the
I want to play a quick game here, Raj. You want to humor me on this one? I'm gonna list players who played fewer minutes than D'Angelo Russell on either team. Are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Austin Reeves played fewer minutes than D'Angelo Russell. He played 37 minutes. D'Angelo Russell played 41 minutes.
Okay.
Aaron Gordon, foul trouble. He plays 32 minutes to D'Angelo Russell's 41 minutes. You kind of get that one. Jamal Murray played fewer minutes in this one than D'Angelo Russell. He played 39 minutes. D'Angelo Russell played 41. Nikola Jokic played fewer minutes than D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell clearly didn't have it in this one, and he just kept on playing, right? The only two players who played more than D'Angelo Russell in this one, or as much or more, were Anthony Davis, who played 45 minutes. Fucking what a grown man.
45. Wow.
From AD, 45 minutes from Anthony Davis, and LeBron played 41 minutes. D'Angelo Russell played 41. That's inexcusable. Like, I know people are hoping that like playoff Darvin Ham is a thing, but 41 minutes and it's just like, you can't. I want to a couple quick things here before we get everybody out of here. The Lakers obviously only have one day of rest before Monday's game. And like, I would imagine Murray isn't going to go 9 of 24 again.
No, he's not.
KCP went 4 of 11 in this one. It felt like he shot a lot better than that, but 4 of 11 for KCP isn't great, right? Michael Porter Jr., a pretty average game for MPJ, right? 19 points, 8 boards.
He was huge, though, in the run. The run coming back in that first half, he was huge. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that like MPJ, I said this to Adam, I said this to Ryan when we were getting ready for the series. MPJ is very much like D'Lo, where like if MPJ has it going, you do not beat Denver. Like when MPJ has it going, they're probably on a run, or they are blowing you out. And D'Lo is like that too, right? When D'Lo scores like 20 or more points, the Lakers have some really good record. MPJ, got it going eventually, And I thought that was a big kind of swing moment when MPJ joined the fray. Like, is there any optimism that you can draw from this game in hopes for, like, you're the more optimistic person than I am. I think the Lakers are getting swept again. But like, you know,
that's a long summer.
Ooh. Yeah. But if like, is there, what are you looking for in game two?
Yeah. So I guess just if I put on my optimistic glasses, which aren't hard to find, right? They're on my table, so I really quickly can grab them.
Like, I feel like you wear optimistic contacts. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's the way I look at life. But no, like, honestly, again, I'm going to put it this way, Anthony. You're going to hate me for this, so I'm sorry. Might want to just mute this part, but there's no way D'Lo can be worse. Like, there's got to be a way that he plays. I knew it. But no, in all seriousness though, like, LeBron and AD did play a really good game. LeBron and AD have real advantages. I knew that would elicit that response. LeBron and AD actually have real advantages to me in this series that extend past game one. Like, they have a way that if they attack the basket, there's no one really to stop them. And Aaron Gordon is in foul trouble, and I think that has to be something the Lakers really push towards, getting him in that foul trouble, because I think that changes just the geometry of the floor for us, because they have no one else that can guard LeBron. And I think those are things that really can transfer into game two. Like, those, I don't know why we just stop running sets when they're working so consistently, but that's another thing that I hope to do more of. Like, when we run the LeBron and AD pick and roll, they're just make them defend it, make them force us to change it, make us like stop scoring before we stop it. I thought, like, usually you can't switch Anthony versus a lot of teams. I mean, you can't run the LeBron AD pick and roll against a lot of teams, right? Because a lot of teams just switch that action. The Nuggets don't switch that action. They don't switch Jokic on the LeBron very often. That's an action that you can really leverage to your favor to get good shots. And I think that's a way that you can go into game two. It's just there's a level of intensity and there's a bar that the Denver Nuggets push the intensity to that if you're not matching that, you can't play. But those are my optimistic looks. Like, the LeBron and AD look like they're ready for this series and they have advantages that they didn't have last year, maybe just towards health, like maybe just being healthier, maybe just having a different, you know, not being tired from two series, right? Not having two series under their belt before playing Denver. I think Rui Hachimura has a huge margin to contribute to. Like, he was basically non-existent offensively for multitude of reasons. And Austin Reeves, I believe, can also be better. He didn't shoot well from three, but he got to his mid-range a little bit, but wasn't the Austin Reeves that we expect that's been playing well. And maybe guarding Jamal Murray is just I remember when Austin was guarding Steph and he talked about on a podcast how that really destroyed his legs, where he couldn't really score and he found them later in the series. We're going to need Austin's legs going into game two. But that's my positive take. Like, I don't know what else they could do. And like, this is our team. These are the punches we have. And we threw them. Some landed. You were making the 300 movie like thing where, you know, he was bleeding. Denver was bleeding a little bit and they put a Band-Aid on and like and ran over us. But they did bleed. There was blood coming out. I saw it. It was red, just like ours.
No,
we bled out. Like, I mean, they bled out on the floor.
They've gone on runs against Denver. They've held leads against Denver. Like, in order to make the Denver Nuggets actually bleed to like live up to the move, you have to win.
Okay.
Like
I know, again, people are gonna kill me for this. This felt different. Like, even in the previous games versus Denver, I it never felt like LeBron and AD at least got to a level that was matching Jokic and Murray. In a process standpoint, sometimes it's LeBron being hot from three, sometimes AD's jumpers going. That's not what tonight was. Tonight was they were consistently getting to the basket, and I think they were winning their matchups in advantage. Like, they were winning their matchups in a way that I thought was real and has real like process stuff that we could take. But no, you're right. Like, I don't think Denver is going into game two like, oh man, you know, we really almost lost game one. Like, I don't think they're going into game two feeling that way. But I mean, that's my optimistic take. The real take is you better fight like hell to win game two, because if not, this series over. And my countdown to summer league starts pretty soon here, so that would be very, very sad.
Before we go, I gotta go through our super comments, which we have a few of them. So, you know what? I'm not gonna play the sounder. I can't even do like fuck Boston. I can't. Justin Tindall writes, Braun and AD can match Joker Murray, but D'Lo, Austin, Rui against KCP, MPJ, and Gordon is a mismatch. Rui needs to rebound the damn ball, 3 boards in 31 minutes. Gordon, MPJ, 19 boards combined. Plus, we have no bench. That's what makes Denver special, right? Is that they have guys who, like, if, like, even when Murray wasn't doing anything in terms of scoring, I thought he played solid defense, and I thought he did good stuff rebounding the ball. They also, like, Mike Malone is a hard ass. Like, he's you know, he is really difficult to please. And that means that he is hyper focused on the minor details and all of those things. And I just think that Denver is a lot more disciplined when it comes to the fundamentals of the game and having core principles, right? You don't see too many wasted empty possessions, right? Like, you don't, Peyton Watson comes into the game and he shoots three pointers, but they're wide open. I dare you to shoot three pointers, right? Nobody sure. guarding him whatsoever. You don't see, you know, Christian Brown going ISO against anybody, right? They're just like, they're so much more disciplined, and they have such a better understanding of what they need to do to be successful. And you know, you watch the Lakers, and like, you have Torian Prince dribbling 4, 5, 6 times to get to the basket. You have, it's just like, there are no core principles to what the Lakers are trying to accomplish. If they aren't running a set, that's why there's such a difference between the Lakers' productivity when they're running a set versus when they aren't, is because their principles are completely lacking.
Yeah, it's funny because we have release valves where we have release valve players, right? Like, Rui's a release valve player. End of the shot clock, we give it to him. He takes a mid-range pull-up. LeBron's a release valve player just because he's on the ball. Denver has release valve sets, which makes things so impossible, right? So the shot clock, yeah. Anthony, will go down to like 6 seconds. And I noticed this too when, like, you watched the series from last year. Shot clock will go down to 6 seconds. They'll somehow fit a Murray Jokic pick and roll into that. And everybody just knows exactly what to do on the floor when that happens. Like, okay, if the tag comes this way, I cut here. And I remember one play tonight, the shot clock got down to like 5 or 6. They got an Aaron Gordon dunk out of it. And LeBron's looking like, who's my help? Who's behind me? But it happens so quickly that, like, it's tough to kind of navigate your defense that way. I think the rebounding point is extremely important, though. Like, I understand that's what Gordon and PJ do. Rui needs to box out every time. There is no leak out against this team. There just is. There's just not. Yeah. LeBron, too. Every single time you got to box out Aaron Gordon, that's like an ass. That's a must. And that's all Aaron Gordon's in there for. And go get the ball. But, and also, D'Lo and Austin have to gain rebound. They have to crash. They have to come down. You're not really getting insane transition opportunities against this team. Aaron Gordon sprints like hell back. They are extremely disciplined in transition. Like, you're not getting very much baskets in that way. You got to rebound the ball. So the rebounding point to me is extremely important. That's what Aaron Gordon's in there for. He's not in there to spot up. When he's taking threes, that's when Denver has you, in my opinion. That's when they feel super comfortable. They feel so comfortable that Aaron Gordon shoots. So
Justin Tindall, actually, like, this is a great stat. This is like a really telling stat on the rebounding front. Justin, again, saying offensive rebounds were 15-6. Braun was our second leading rebounder with 6. Jamal Murray had 6 rebounds. Nobody's beating Denver 4 out of the next 5. Next game is a game 7. That's just. And the thing with the offensive rebounds, especially offensive rebounds being 15-6, Denver is a better offense than the Lakers. Like, I don't know if that's the case statistically. I don't know, like, where the two teams wound up at the end of the year or whatever, but Denver has the best player in the world, and he is the best floor raiser in the world for the players around him. He makes that offense run in a way that the Lakers doesn't run consistently. And if you're giving that team extra possessions by way of offensive rebound, that's just, it's killer, you know? And I don't think the Lakers will win a game That they don't out rebound the Denver Nuggets, especially offensively. Like offensive rebounds, if it's that big of a gap between, you know, 15 to 6, then it's just over. You're dead in the water.
Yeah, we need to sandwich rebound a lot, right? Like sandwich is when you have if Joker's getting boxed out by Rui, there needs to be someone behind him as well, right? Like,
yeah,
God bless Rui, and I thought Rui at least tried to box out Jokic as much as he could. Jokic can just tip the ball over him, and Jokic might, like, I don't watch volleyball, but Jokic I think is one of the best volleyball players in the league. He just tips the ball to himself and throws it up. So like the guards have to rebound, man, as much as they can. I thought there were some plays where Denver was allowed physicality on the boards and we didn't get the call, but that just has to be a point of emphasis going into game two.
Marley asks a question. Do we pull the plug on D'Lo quicker than game four? I think it's necessary. Darvin's postgame comments doesn't seem like he's concerned about it though. Darvin's postgame comments are always really stupid, but, yeah. Do you pull the plug on D'Lo? I mean,
what does that mean?
I think the first half in this next game is about as much rope as I'm, or leash or leeway as I'm willing to give D'Angelo Russell. If he plays poorly in that first half, I think you start Gabe in game three and you go away from D'Lo completely. He's not a playoff player, man. We've known this. This is how it always goes with him. And you brought in Spencer Dinwiddie, you brought in Gabe. Those guys, at least because they try defensively, have that bit, you know, a higher floor than D'Lo, and they aren't going to hurt you as much as D'Lo can hurt you. I think if D'Lo plays poorly in the first half of this next game, he doesn't start the second half, and you don't see him hardly at all for the rest of the series. I'm done fucking around with this guy. I'm done. I can't keep watching D'Angelo Russell. Like, I can't sit there and hope that this guy raises his game in ways that he's clearly incapable of raising his game.
What sucks, because I'm just gonna bring his game into this, because what sucks about it is obviously I've always said his variance is gonna be very high, because number one, D'Lo doesn't get to the rim. Number two, he doesn't get to the line, right? So that puts everything on your jump shot working, right? And in playoff game, in playoff defense, teams are tighter to you. They're more engaged. It's tougher to get open looks. That's why D'Lo is going to struggle. The part to me is the just intensity. And like, that's something that D'Lo can control. He can't control his jump shot going in every time. I get that. He can control his shot selection, number one. Number two, he can control his intensity. It's a tight game. It was like a three-point game. He's walking up the floor and
that
throws.
Pass through that KCP stole was just – it was a lazy, like, lollipop pass, bounce pass thing that KCP literally just trotted up and took.
Yeah, no, and D'Lo was, like, skipping up the court, right? And the broadcast even brought it up, and they were saying LeBron was very
– he was stern pissed.
I didn't get to see it. I'll go rewatch it.
Oh my god, playback.
It was a little bit fuzzy during that time. But yeah, like that's the stuff to me which is disappointing. This is part of D'Lo's game, right? He's a very you talk about he's a vibes guy. Like you can really tell when he doesn't have his moxie, doesn't have his swagger. But there's ways you got to impact the game, man. If you're gonna be a 30-minute player, which I think D'Lo's going to be, like, as much as we want to cut his minutes, he's going to be at least a 25 to 30 minute player at the minimum. That dude's got to contribute. Denver's too freaking good to play a guy who's being removed offensively. They just are. Like, and the gap between Dinwiddie and Gabe currently, and D'Lo in terms of just offensive talent and production and ceiling, it's a large gap, Anthony, that Gabe can't make up with his health. And Dinwiddie is just not that guy offensively right now. It's just, I think you lose. You just lose. If D'Lo's this bad in the playoffs, you're going home in a week.
But that was, I'm not cool with that. You brought in Gabe, you brought in Vincent so that like you don't just lose when D'Lo is this bad. You know? Here's the thing that I'm a little nervous about, Raj. Because like I was too in the moment while I was watching this. And I apologize, Brian, if you're watching right now. I'm not picking on you, but Brian Kamenetsky made the point that like he likes it when D'Lo stays aggressive, and he thought that D'Lo was taking the shots that were.
I've seen people say that.
that he was being given. Here's what scares me. What if Denver's giving him those shots because they know that he's a mental midget? And he's gonna choke in the spot, right? Yeah. Like we've all played pickup, right? Anybody who's watching or listening or whatever who has played basketball, and there's always that dude who's shooting these shots and he's like, I'm open. It's like, why do you think you're open?
Yeah,
you know. What if that's the case here with D'Lo? What if Mike
they're like
Malone,
talking to him too? They're like, hey, like you're open, like shoot it.
Self check,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, what do you do there? Because if that's part of their game plan here to leave D'Angelo Russell open, if that's how this is going to go, if that's their intent, and he's taking these shots and it goes like it plays into their game plan, then that makes it even more destructive that you're running sets for the guy. They were running sets for him. They were like trying to get him going throughout this game. And Mike Malone's just sitting there like, keep going. He's never going to make it. It's never going to happen for this guy. Cause it might not.
Yeah. It's that's rough. Maybe I'm just, you know, trying to believe this just cause it helps me sleep at night, but I just refuse. I refuse to believe those are set plays for D'Angelo Russell to get jump shots. Like I think those are our base set principles and we run actions out. Like there's no way, Anthony, I don't want to live in a universe where I believe this, where we came out of a timeout and said, we're going to stick LeBron in the corner and have D'Lo take a pull up. There's no way that's the play call out of the timeout.
I sat there like this, I think, for minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how long. Yeah. I don't think I moved.
There were like eight plays after that you didn't see.
You and I both like just sat there dumbfounded because you're on a run and that's the shot that gets drawn up. It's just
And D'Lo's also too smart for this as well, right? This is very like we say this all the time. D'Lo is a very intelligent player, and not just intelligent on the court. Yeah, he's a very aware guy of the league and a lot of things that surround the league that some players aren't. He knows those aren't good shots for him. Darvin Ham came out in the post game. I listened to Darvin say that I told him to stay aggressive, and maybe he did. This isn't the game to test that. And it's clear LeBron and AD were extremely annoyed with it.
Yeah.
On to game two.
Yep. On to game two. Indeed. We have, as it stands right now, 3,800 people watching right now. That's a new record. That's the most ever watching live. To those of you who are new to the show, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button as well. If you're watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to subscribe to the show so you guys can sit here and either celebrate or commiserate with us, depending on the night. The Lakers play again Monday night. Again, the plan here for the rest of the playoffs, whether that's three games or however many games, Raj is going to be here with me breaking that down in the lounge. Make sure you guys follow Raj on Twitter, where he is going to, I would imagine, be putting together a thread as he rewatches this game.
Yep.
I personally am going to pour a really tall glass of wine and
throw the game on the TV. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I finished Fallout and I finished Shogun. Like I'm all caught up on Shogun. So I don't really have anything I can watch right now. So I really might just go sit out on my back patio and watch a fire. Like that's it. That might be what I do.
I saw something today. They were doing the Jokic was compared to what's his name? In that movie, like the movie character that they're guru or something. Oh yeah. Guru. There's Despicable four Despicable movies. Like that's insane to me. Like
really good too. Like they haven't really fallen off.
So I haven't seen a single one. I just wondering like how they made four movies out of like Minions and that guy. Like that's impressive to me. I thought it was going to be like number two or something. I was like, oh, they have a new Despicable movie. And it said like number four next to it. I'm like number four. Man, where have I?
Well, I wonder because like there's also like the Rise of Gru and stuff like that. I don't know if that is counted in the list because there might actually be more than four.
But oh, they have side movies too. Oh my god!
Huh?
They have side movies like spin-offs too.
Yeah, there's the Minions movies and yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna watch them. But
got a cool comment here from a Nuggets fan. This is from Justin Land. Good luck with the series, fellas. This is a good show. Sincerely, a Nuggets fan. I appreciate it. If you guys haven't checked them out already, make sure you guys do tune into the conversations that I had with Adam and with Ryan in prep for the series, right? A lot of the stuff that they said came to fruition here tonight in this game and probably going to continue coming to fruition over the next three. But yeah, until, well, shoot, tomorrow is Sunday, which means I will be right back here to, you know, kind of react to the reaction and then look across the league at how the rest of the playoffs are going. It'll be a mailbag show. So if you guys have any questions, send them in the form of a 5-star review to iTunes and I'll answer them there. And maybe we'll watch a little bit of playoff basketball here in the lounge together tomorrow. But until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Chabalu saying, have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and we will talk to you on Sunday, tomorrow. God, that sucks.